continuing with Alice. But what happens when not a trace of vital spontaneity remains because the child's upbringing was a total and perfect success, as was the case with people such as Adolf Eichmann and Rudolf Hess? They were trained to be obedient so successfully and at such an early age that the training never lost its effectiveness. The structure never displayed any fissures. Water never penetrated it at any point, nor did feelings of any kind ever jar it. To the end of their lives, these people carried out the orders they were given without ever questioning the content. They carried them out, just as poisonous pedagogy recommends, not out of any sense of their inherent rightness, but simply because they were orders. This explains why Eichmann was able to listen to the most moving testimony of the witnesses at his trial without the slightest display of emotion. Yet when he forgot to stand up at the reading of the verdict, he blushed with embarrassment when this was called to his attention. The strong emphasis on obedience in Rudolf Hess's early upbringing left its indelible mark on him too. Certainly his father didn't intend to raise him to be a commandant at Auschwitz. On the contrary, as a strict Catholic, he had a missionary career in mind for his son. But he had instilled in him at an early age the principle that the authorities must always be obeyed, no matter what their demands. Hess writes, quote, "Our guests were mostly priests of every sort. As the years passed, my father's religious fervor increased. Whenever time permitted, he would take me on pilgrimages to all the holy places in our own country, as well as to Einsiedeln in Switzerland and to Lourdes in France. He prayed passionately that the grace of God might be bestowed on me, so that I might one day become a priest blessed by God. I, too, was as deeply religious as was possible for a boy of my age, and I took my religious duties very seriously. I prayed with true childlike gravity, and performed my duties as acolyte with great earnestness. I had been brought up by my parents to be respectful and obedient toward all adults, and especially the elderly, regardless of their social status. I was taught that my highest duty was to help those in need. It was constantly impressed upon me in forceful terms that I must obey promptly the wishes and commands of my parents, teachers, and priests, and indeed of all adults, including servants, and that nothing must distract me from this duty. Whatever they said was always right." These basic principles by which I was brought up became second nature to me. Unquote from Rudolf Hess. And Alice replies, when the authorities later required Hess to run the machinery of death in Auschwitz, how could he have refused? And later, after his arrest, when he was given the assignment of writing an account of his life, he not only performed this task faithfully and conscientiously, but politely expressed gratitude for the fact that the time in prison passed more quickly because of this interesting occupation. His account has provided the world with deep insight into the background of a multitude of otherwise incomprehensible crimes. Rudolf Hess's first memories of his childhood are of washing compulsively, which was probably an attempt to free himself of everything his parents found impure or dirty in him. Since his parents showed him no affection, he sought this in animals, all the more since they were not beaten by his father as he was, and thus enjoyed a higher status than children. Similar attitudes were shared by Heinrich Himmler, who said, for example, "How can you find pleasure, Herr Kirsten, in shooting from behind cover at poor creatures grazing on the edge of a wood, innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting? It's really pure murder. Nature is so marvelously beautiful, and every animal has a right to live. And that's quoted by Joachim Fest in The Face of the Third Reich. Yet, says Alice, it was also Himmler who said, quote, one principle must be absolute for the SS man. We must be honest, decent, loyal, and comradely to those of our own blood and to no one else. What happens to the Russians, what happens to the Czechs, is a matter of utter indifference to me. Good blood like ours that we find among other nationalities, we shall acquire for ourselves, if necessary, by taking away the children and bringing them up among us. Whether the other nationalities live in comfort or perish of hunger interests me only insofar as we need them as slaves for our society. Apart from that, it does not interest me. Whether or not 10,000 Russian women collapse from exhaustion while digging a tank ditch interests me only insofar as it affects the completion of the tank ditch for Germany. We shall never be cruel or heartless when it's not necessary, that is clear. We Germans, who are the only people in the world who have a decent attitude toward animals, will also adopt a decent attitude toward these human animals. But it is a crime against our own blood to worry about them or to fill them with ideals, unquote, quoted by Fest in his book, The Face of the Third Reich.